Good morning, everyone. It's 9 o'clock, so we're calling the meeting to order. Our mayor will not be with us today as she is not available, and I will be conducting the meeting. So the next thing we look at here, I should say first, is with our phones, everybody should put their phones to silent mode so they don't come off during the meeting. Number two on our list today is any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, I ask for approval of the agenda as David. Second. All in favor? So carried. Number three on our list today is presentations. And we only have one presentation at this time, and that's from Rumclo Development Limited with Chad and Graham, if you want to come forward.
Good morning, Deputy Mayor, Councilors, Municipal Staff. We are Rumclo Developments. As we, I'm sure many of you know, I'm Chad and this is Graham. And today we want to present our presentation for some affordable housing and professional housing.
Do I just push this on?
Yeah, I think so.
Test.
No. Right, okay. So as you know, in December, we presented our plan for The Point at 133 Shore Road. Hold on. I'll just wait for the slide here. So again, we presented our plan for The Point in December, and recently we've purchased another lot, which is about 180 meters from The Point, located in the corner of Shore, between Shore and College. We're here today to discuss these lots. There's about 7 acres that we own, and our ideas for these lots, as well as a municipal lot that borders on our property at College Street. Next slide, okay.
So we have actually, we have two developments actually for this, for all three of these PIDs. First one being The Curve, which will be the modern townhomes, and the second one would be Birchwood Gardens, which is affordable housing.
So basically, we've been asked a lot since our presentation about affordable housing. Are you guys going to include affordable housing at The Point? What about rentals? And you know, we've looked at it up and down, and it, you know, we really want to include as many demographics as we possibly can. So this is kind of our solution to that ask, which we're, you know, it's not at The Point, but it's right down the street from The Point, and it's along the same street. And this is what that'll look like. If you go to the next slide, please. Just let this run.
Yeah, so you can see the affordable housing is on the left side there, and the townhomes is on this frame as well, on the Shore Road side. There are 3-level townhomes with a garage, 3-bedroom, 2 bedrooms on top, 1 on the bottom, living space and kitchen in the middle.
Okay. You can go to the next slide, thank you. So the first one is The Curve, professional housing for when we originally approached this, we thought, can you go to the next slide, please? So it's 22 townhomes, 3 levels, 3 bathrooms, garage for a single car and a garden. There's 22 in total, and we're thinking about probably about half to be rentals at this point, right? And originally, if you go to the next slide, so this is what it'll look like on plan or property. It should go any second here. There we go. Okay, we can advance to the next slide, please.
We've also hoped to have the professional housing here, so we'd provide rentals for hospital and RCMP staff. We've talked with some of the hospital staff, and this is a major concern in recruitment, and we believe that we can fill some of that void, especially with our close proximity to the hospital. And we do a mixture of rentals and forever homes.
We won't go through all the details here. I'm sure you've all read it. We'll go to the next slide. So this is what they look like, the three floors. Again, keeping, you know, true to our philosophy of, you know, simple builds, to make it as simple as spacious as possible, which will keep the price down as much as we can.
And the low maintenance and anything green that we can put on there, like the EV car ready for electric cars, and we'd like to be able to get some solar panels up there and everything.
Well, talks a little bit about the design and all the design elements that we are including, but there's a lot to go through, so we won't waste your time with that right now. All right.
So our target rents, and obviously this is open to construction costs at the time of building and, you know, material costs, but we're targeting, we'd like to have the rental in at $1,750 to $2,000, somewhere in there for the professional housing, and the sales would be somewhere in between $400,000 and $500,000.
So the next project we're going to talk about is the Birchwood Gardens, which is our affordable housing community. Next slide, please.
So this is our affordable housing. As you can see, it's very modern looking as well. It's located right across from the daycare and the high school, and a short walk from the middle school and hospital, as I'm sure everyone is aware. We do a mixture of these, would be all rentals. There is 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units. And we have an affordable chart, I think, on the next slide here of what those rents would be.
There's going to be 82 apartments total when it's all said and done. It's not really okay. Next slide, please. So the 3 points that we believe are key here for, you know, quality of life in the affordable housing complex is the location, which speaks for itself, proximity to Liverpool and all the conveniences of Liverpool, easy access to schools, daycare facilities, shopping, medical care, and of course surrounded by the beauty of the region. A safe place to live. We're already very lucky to live in a safe community like Liverpool with the low crime rate and community-minded residents. But we're also laying it out in such a way that, you know, we have ample room for kids to play, for families, and that, you know, they're very safe within their little neighborhood, their little community within a community. And then finally, affordability, which doesn't have to mean sacrifice. We're offering quality and comfortable apartments, spacious apartments, and again, 1, 2, and 3 bedroom layouts. Next slide. This is what the houses will look.
Yeah, so this is our layout. As you can see from the, we have the 1, 2, and 3 bedroom. On the ground level, we will have wheelchair accessible as well. Obviously, there is no elevator anything for the second level, but the ground level, there will be accessibility. In the left corner there, you see the square footage sizes, which we think is quite good for affordable rents. And we've made them quite nice aesthetically. We want people to be able to move in here and stay here, you know, someplace that they like to be. And away for years.
So these are our price points based on Nova Scotia's averages that we got from the table that we got from the site. We're working with the Department of Municipal Affairs and Houses, CMHC and RBC to, you know, adhere to the guidelines that they have, and they have very strict guidelines, but I think that we're able to do it and also to be able to hit their preferred target rents. And the table basically illustrates what the average rent is in our region and then what our affordable rents will be and then what you would save on a yearly basis.
This is also, these rents are approved by the Nova Scotia government for the affordable housing. They're locked in for 5 years, and then if we want to, or if the need to move them up, you have to apply to the Nova Scotia government and be approved. So these rents are locked in.
So we need three things. Back to the good old extension of municipal services on Shore Road. Initially, we've brought this up for the point. So it goes without saying that we need this as well to make these two developments a reality. They're right down the road from Shore Road. There's no extension other than what, you know, was originally proposed. And we would like for this, you know, to happen ASAP. We've already been waiting seven months or so, and we just have no idea where we stand. And our build time for this year certainly is narrowing. I don't think we're going to be able to do anything this year at this rate. So that's point one. Point two.
We need to work together as a development company. We really want to work with the municipality and figure out what works for, you know.
Next slide, by the way, sorry.
For everybody here, and we need a little cohesion. We need to work with one another instead of against one another, and we'd really like to open up lines of communication as they haven't been great so far.
And then the third thing that we would like to request is PID 701-82910, which is the PID that borders the new properties that we've purchased. It's a sliver of land, you know, that basically will give us access to College Street without having to go around, and the ability to stay true to the proposed layout that we have. So that's something that we'd like to go on record as wanting to purchase. Next slide.
So the big picture of we really feel it's the winning ticket for Queens County. We now have four developments potentially on the same extension line, which is amazing. The amount of residential units is possibly over 315, 82 affordable housing, and like I said, the four developments, it's really the perfect storm.
Next slide, please. And then the second point there with the big picture is the four developments will increase the municipal tax revenue, goes without saying, but it will be well over $1 million annually. So that means that the initial investment of extending this water line extending the municipal services will, you know, the ability to recoup that will be faster than, you know, local businesses. Again, more people, more patrons, and the fact that these four developments will create jobs, multiple trades and labor jobs, suppliers, you name it, for the, you know, foreseeable future. I mean, I think, you know, definitely the next 10 years. And then finally, going back to the medical staff and first responders, we'll be able to live and work close to home. This makes our community safer, and we'll have shorter medical wait times. It'll be easier to see a doctor locally and reduce the need to travel out of town to get much needed medical attention. Next slide, please. The big picture.
So this is the rendering of the final product. Now, our builds on this would be a little bit slower. Our plan is to build one affordable housing a year and one townhouse a year. Townhouse row, that would be. And one full 10-unit building for affordable housing. And like I said, our plan is one per year. And as they fill up, we'd move on to the next one. We don't see that there be any problems with filling affordable housing, as everybody needs a place to live, and we are very short supply. This is a letter from Kim Meisel in support. As I think we all know, I don't think there's anybody in Nova Scotia that doesn't know that we need housing of every level.
That's basically it. I think next slide, right? Let's go to the next slide. Yep. That's it. So if you have any questions.
The other thing we're struggling with right now is that we really need some communication with our water study. The water study, I believe, was in on February 13th council meeting, and at that time it was supposed to take 3 weeks to get back. And so far we're here in June, and it's 4 months later, and we still, as far as we know, haven't had a study back, and nobody really seems to know why this study isn't coming back. So we'd really like to ask the region why the study isn't coming back, or what the holdup to the study is. And it really makes it hard as a company to feel like we can get this project done if a simple study is taking this long to come back. So we'd really like to get some insight on the study.
And also in general, just, you know, as we've mentioned, an open line of communication. We're completely in the dark after 7 months. And I don't find that reasonable. And we've had a lot of, you know, we've made a lot of requests to come meet with you guys, meet with the mayor, sit down and get to know each other a bit more and talk about if you, you know, if the region even wants these developments in the first place. We don't know. And, you know, there's a timeline. There's a time limit for us. We're not rich. And we own these properties and understand that we can do anything we want on these properties. We can build 20 homes on the point. We can do that with Wells. We know that for sure. And all it would take is, you know, a matter of the basic permits that we would do. And then we would build homes that are large enough to make us, you know, the profit that we would require to take on such a project. But who does that benefit? That benefits us. It doesn't benefit the community in the end. And then now we have another 7 acres where we can build potentially another 7-8 homes. Again, that would benefit us tremendously, but it does not benefit the region of Queens. I mean, it does and it doesn't, right? And we're also excluding a lot of demographics there. So we don't have affordable housing. We're not really catering any kind of rentals for anybody, that sort of thing. So that's why, you know, I understand that we've been told a few times, well, listen, you guys, you know, we're waiting for the feasibility study to come back. It's taking a tremendous long amount of time. I'm a little confused on why that would be. And fine. And they're saying to us, well, maybe it's a little bit premature to sit down. Well, I don't believe that it is. We need to understand where you guys stand, where we stand, what your concerns are. Let's talk about it together so that we can make this happen. And when these things start coming into play, like the feasibility study, there's an engineering study. So, you know, let's get ahead of the game and get this going and get it happening and make it something great for everybody in the region. Right? So, anyways, any questions? We're happy to answer them either now or via email. Thank you very much for your time. Again.
Thank you.
Okay, we thank you very much for your presentation and can understand your frustrations. With that, I don't think I'm equipped to be able to answer that question in particular. I don't know if the CAO, could you enlighten us anything on this?
So the CBCL work is nearing completion. It is not a simple study. It's actually far more complex than just extensions. Extensions are one element of what we'll likely receive back from the consultants. They'll also provide insight on how the system needs to be improved in order to accept volumes, both water and wastewater. What we do know is that the wastewater treatment plant has capacity, but it's getting the flows to the plant that will likely have require significant improvements so that the volume coming through the extensions can make it to the plant. On the other side, we know that you can get water to the land that you're proposing to develop, but what are the implications on the rest of the system? Will it result in negative water pressure in other areas of the municipality where improvements are required in order for the extensions to work for your project, but to work for the rest of the community as well? So it's not a simple study. So that we're optimistic that we'll have be able to brief. We'll have a briefing for staff and council in the month of June and a final report shortly after that. And that's when then it'll make its way to council for decision making. So that's the update as I understand it, related to that CBCL work. So it should be in the next month or two, but it will come back with some significant advice for the municipality to consider. Yeah.
So is this normal that a study, I'm sorry, simple is probably the wrong words for it, but in our grand scheme of everything that we have going on, this is one of the smaller ends of, you know, building everything. In saying that, is it, we had a company lined up that said they would perform this in 2 months for us, and we're going on 4 months, and we still don't have a exact date, I guess, when it's coming back. And we keep hearing, it's like a dangle a carrot in front of us, because we keep hearing that it's next month or next week, and then next month or next week comes, and it moves to the next month or the next week, and so on and so on. So, you know, as you can see, our frustration from that is very hard when, you know, that's our next kind of step. And then there's very, you know, many, many steps after this. We're already into June now, and, you know, we're going to lose this building season. Our worry is that we'll lose next building season as well. And then at that point, you know, just to try to get the services may take us 5 years, which is not feasible for our development company.
I would say that this is very typical. Municipalities are, to my knowledge, own the systems, and municipalities are responsible for providing, you know, making decisions on extensions. That can take time. What I can say that probably just an observation about what's happening in the province. For many decades, the province has been, particularly rural Nova Scotia, has been very modest population growth, in fact, decline. And what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years is a change in how Nova Scotia is going to grow moving forward. We see population projection from the provincial government of 2 million people is what they're hoping. And we're starting to see that happening in our communities, including our rural communities. So all orders of government are going to have to start thinking about comprehensive planning and investment in infrastructure so that the region of Queens and many other communities in Nova Scotia can pivot to a province where population has been static to a province where population is growing very rapidly. So it won't be, there may be some opportunities for quick growth of water and wastewater systems, but it will not be unusual for long-range comprehensive plans required in many communities in order to accommodate a significant and exciting project like you have. So that would be an observation that I would have, that it's not unusual where we find ourselves here in the region of Queens.
I mean, everything you said makes perfect sense to me, and that's all great. I guess just a little bit of our frustration is just the not knowing anything, like literally nothing, you know, other than little murmurs here and there from community members and all that stuff. And it's just, that frustrates us, because in all honesty, we've already been approached by other municipalities and they've asked us, and you know, they're with open arms, they're approaching us, we're not approaching them. And because they've seen articles online or in the paper. So that makes us go, how are we not hearing anything or not? You know, we're basing the fact that you guys think it's a great idea just on the fact that you've approved these feasibility study, and it's a tremendous amount of money. We understand that. So that for us is like, okay, well, that must be a good thing. But that's it. You know what I mean? We don't know for sure. When another municipality reaches out to us and can we have a meeting, come sit with us, that's confirmation that they are interested in what we're doing, and we could tomorrow go there and do it. We don't want to. We don't. We love where we live. We love our community. And we are local developers. We're not the big guys from Halifax and stuff, you know? And so we just want to see our community grow. And that's why we're still here waiting and hoping that this will be something that we can all work together to make happen. So.
Okay, I think you heard from our CAO and that we are in the business of trying to do this on a time frame. I can understand your frustrations, the lack of communication, whatever it may be. Let's go forward from there and saying that within the next 2 months, we'll be able to get some kind of direction, give you some kind of information back. So and knowing that it's a bigger project than just connecting a water line or connecting a sewer line is how it affects the whole system. And that's what we'll know and be able to talk more. We're excited. We are all excited about this. What you brought forward, the presentation this morning, is incredible. So it's just a matter of how they can all work out. With that being said, now I'll take it to the council and see if any questions. I guess you must have did a good job. Oh.
No, I just want to say thanks for the presentation. It looks interesting, and we get a lot of frustration from the community when a lot of these developments come in and they don't include any significant amount of affordable housing. So I think having that portion of it goes a long way towards making any decision we make a lot easier to look at. And you know, we are definitely looking at the process, but I think we have to also be careful that we don't stress the system, and we don't have the information as well. So, you know, we're waiting for the information to come back from CBCL so that we can make a decision. So it's hard for us to communicate with you when we don't have any information to communicate.
Right.
And I think that's part of the issue, but we should be able to try to keep the lines of communication open.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
It's okay.
Could you hold on just 1 second? I didn't look around enough. Councillor Charlton.
That's okay. Thank you. I just want to thank you both, and also thank you for recognizing the need for affordable housing. I love the presentation. The visuals are amazing. And for people to be able to live in a place like that for affordable housing and not have to worry about transportation and be able to walk to schools and the hospital and things like that, certainly does speak for itself. So I'd just like to thank you both for that.
Looking around this time, it doesn't seem to be anybody else. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So the next on the list is the tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to table? Hearing none, we go into number 5, the public question comment session. Anyone wants to speak from the public has got 5 minutes. State your name and address, please. And you can press the red button so you can.
It didn't turn red. It does now. This new system that you have, which is working very well, it takes a little time to get used to it. And I must say it's 110% improvement over what we had, as you know. Anyway, Leon Robertson, 45 College Street in Liverpool, and that's what the presentation was with respect to development on College Street, which is well above where I live. Anyway, it sounds like a good development, and particularly with the affordable housing and so on, which of course we need here. And my only concern here is that the council and the developer work closer together and keep them up to date more than what you have in the past. Because I think it's something that we need. We do need housing here, affordable housing, and other housing as well. So I'm sure that you will, Deputy Mayor. And like I say, as I mentioned earlier, I certainly like your new system here. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. Anyone else?
I just forgot to give you the letter we have for you.
Okay, hearing none. We'll go on to the number six, the approval of the minutes. Does everybody had the chance to look over the regular council minutes of May 23rd, 2023? If so, do we have a motion to approve the minutes? So, Councilor Muse and then Councilor Hawks. All in favor? So carried. So, they're down to recommendations. The first one is 7.1, and we have a recommendation in the package, and I'll go with Councilor Gidney. It's in his area.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to Liverpool Ukulele Kaylee Society in the amount of $2,475 from the 2023-2024 Community Investment Fund.
Seconder, Councilor Brown.
So today's request is for assistance to host the 2023 Kaylee. That's going to be on October 20th and 21st. The total eligible expenses are $26,400, which are considered under the Event Investment Fund, Section C, up to 12.5% of funding for eligible expenses. As you saw, the recommendation is for less than the request because the surplus over the last 2 years is greater than 50% of the normal operating budget. And their cash assets are in excess of 25% of the 2023 projected budget. So we're recommending to fund at 75% of the request, which is consistent with previous reductions in funding under the policy.
Any questions? Councilor Gidney?
I think the Kaylee is something that happens biannually, isn't it? They do the Kaylee every second year, so that's why their funding probably fluctuates, that they have a surplus in 1 year when they don't have the event, and then the next year they actually have the expenses incurred. So it's great that we're looking at funding them, even though they are over the limit, because it's a different case than most events are. So, thanks.
Okay, Councilor Gidney, do you? Okay. Any other questions? If not, thank you. Yes, we do. So now we've got the motion in. Let's vote on the motion. All those in favor? So carried. 7.2. temporary borrowing resolution on Main Street. Councilor Brown?
I recommend that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve temporary borrowing resolution filed 22-2301 in the amount of $780,000 for the Main Street Sewer Water Project.
Seconder? Councilor Charlton?
Good morning, Council. So this project was completed in the last fiscal year and included in the budget for the last fiscal year, and it was to be budget. It was to be paid for and funded through debenture. And the debenture issue is this fall. So currently that project has been funded through the sewer reserve, and this debenture will just be reimbursing the sewer reserve. So basically we're floating it until we get this debenture in the fall. This debenture will not be received by us or payments made by us until next fiscal year. So it wasn't in the current budget, and that's fine because we won't be paying on it until next year.
Any questions? Hearing none, thank you very much. So let's vote on it. All in favor? Contrary minded? So carried. 7.3, request for use of Liverpool waterfront parking lot. And I'll go to Councilor Gidney with that.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality grant permission for Highway Pentecostal Assembly and Salvation Army to use Liverpool waterfront parking lot for outdoor church services on every Sunday evening in July and August 2023 from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., and that such use be in accordance with the parking lots bylaw, which requires all cars to be parked within the designated parking stalls, and further that the services comply with all municipal, provincial, and federal regulations and protocols in place during each weekly service.
Do I have a seconder for that? Councilor Muse. So, any questions? Hearing none, all in favor? Oh, sorry, I missed your, okay. Councilor Brown.
That's okay. I'm just glad to see that the motion now carries that the compliance with the parking, because I think when this first started, there were some issues with people parking parallel to the parking, and it created issues with other users in the parking lot. So I'm glad to see that that's been taken care of.
Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor? So carried. 7.4, truck purchase, unbudgeted expense. So we have a motion for that. Councilor Brown?
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the unbudgeted purchase of one truck with a price ceiling in the amount of $25,000 each to be purchased as soon as possible.
Seconder? Councilor Gidney?
So currently we have a shortage of one vehicle in the Engineering and Public Works Department. The repairs are not feasible on our existing equipment, and the equipment has reached its end of life. The replacement for this vehicle will continue to allow the flexibility required to support operations, particularly supporting North Queens Pool and other groundskeeping obligations. I also included a portion of the purchasing policy, which specifically allows an exception in the case of unforeseen situation of urgency, because this is definitely one of those things. We don't want to have to go out for a request for quotes, which is our normal procurement policy for this truck. And I've also been discussing the pricing with the Director of Engineering, and he believes he can get a truck for $25,000 plus HST. I shouldn't say truck, vehicle, for $25,000 plus HST. So this cost is not a part of our operating budget and requires, therefore, approval from Council, which is why I'm here today.
Any questions? Hearing none. All in favor? So carried. 7.5, vehicle purchases. Counselor Brown?
Seem to be making most of these motions, but it's part of the audit and internal control, so that's finance, so I guess it doesn't particularly take one district. I make the recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the purchase of two 2023 4x4 three-quarter ton pickups from Mosier Motors at a price of $152,350 plus HST, and that the Region of Queens Municipality approves the purchase of a used vehicle to meet the requirements of the building inspector from David Hatt Auto Sales at a maximum price of $40,000 plus HST.
Do I have a seconder? Councilor Charlton?
I don't got to start over. Do I forget what I said? The mid-sized vehicles are not available right now in the market, so Mosier Motors was the only company to respond to our request. They said if we wanted to wait till September, October, we'd have a better chance. I don't think that's sustainable in that department, so we're looking to go buy a good used vehicle to satisfy our needs.
Any questions? Councilor Brown?
Yeah, I think everybody who's looked at buying a vehicle in the last couple of years realizes how short the supply is and how long the timeline is. So, you know, to get one company to agree on that shorter term, I think is pretty miraculous in itself. And, you know, looking outside the box to go with the mid-size that's not a brand new vehicle, but to get it done, I think we have to have the vehicles to keep people working and get the jobs done. So, thanks.
Councilor Muse?
The reason that we're always buying three-quarter tons, Adam?
So we've always had three-quarter tons. They've generally been a better frame that lasts a lot longer. You get the 12, 15 years of them that we're looking for. Now with the shortage and just long supply times, we're looking to go outside the box, go with something less ideal and something that just gets through another couple of years. Is that a long-term plan? I'm not sure, but I think generally we'll stick with the three-quarter tons that we've always bought, where they're heavy-duty and they seem to be more survivable.
Any other questions? I have one question. When you say that you're to meet the required the building inspector from David Hatt's Auto Sale, are we limiting you to just buying from there in case you found something somewhere else?
So before the staff report was written, we did call around looking, different used dealers, different regular dealers. None of them were interested in entertaining us because they have people on the lots waiting to buy vehicles today. Speaking with David, he was more than willing to find a way to make us find what we needed. And that's kind of the reason why we're going with him.
Just didn't want to limit you. So, okay. Any other questions? Okay. All in favor? So carried. 7.6, replacement municipal tractor sidewalk plow. Councilor Gibney.
I recommend the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2023 trackless MT7 from Saunders Equipment Limited, Fredericton, New Brunswick, at a price of $178,820 plus HST.
A seconder? Councilor Charlton. Councilor Gidney.
So this is another budget-approved piece of equipment. Looking at a 20-year replacement of what we have. When three companies were able to provide equipment that was close to spec, only one company met the spec that we had, which is good because it's the same brand, style, and very compatible with existing accessories that we have already. So.
Okay, any questions? Councilor Brown?
I would assume that if we went with a different manufacturer and changed specs, that the cost of the attachments would be astronomical and probably eclipse the cost of the initial buy.
So the feedback from the other two companies that the attachments are compatible, but compatible to what degree? They all require some modifications, not significant, but every time you modify some, it's just something else and something else, which is, it worked out well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none. All in favor? Okay. Thank you. So everything's going along quickly. We go over to the discussion section, and we only have one thing on the discussion, and it's going to be a pool discussion. Everybody has that. We will have been talking with our CAO, and the CAO has got some, has give out these papers to you, everyone to look at, to be able to talk about it prior to having a round table discussion with everyone.
Thank you for that. We'll just pull up a slide deck. I'm sorry that this wasn't in the package nor shared with the pool committee members. Hopefully there's nothing terribly new in it. But I thought it would be a good time to provide a status report and just kind of set the stage for the next steps for that that really exciting project. So I think we're nearing the end of the engagement and planning phase. And we're at the front end of the conceptual design phase. I think, as you all know, a project manager has been retained. And he has engineering firms, architect firms involved as well. So they're in a great position to deliver council a conceptual design and the pool committee conceptual design. They have things to do like some geotechnical work, topographic work, electrical, water, wastewater, and other things that are important. We more or less, I've told them to kind of, the design work is on hold until we kind of finalize the major components that would be in the conceptual design. And that's really why we're here today, as a result of a request from the pool committee to consider the inclusion of a hot tub in the project. After the conceptual design stays, there's lots of work to do, of course. You will receive the designs and cost estimates, and at that time you'll consider where you want to proceed with the project. It may be that it's on budget, it may be that it's not on budget, and you may have the opportunity to consider additions, or you may have to consider amendments to the project. So that will come. Ideally, it would be great if you're in a position to do kind of the final design and tendering over the winter months so that you're able to start a project in the next construction season. Next slide, please. So just some update information in terms of where we are. The project is located at Queen's Place. That's where the project manager is pursuing their work. There will be heat recovery from Queen's Place. At this time, they're not able to indicate what percentage heat recovery, but it certainly considered that it will be significant percentage of the heating requirement for the pool will be recovered from the ice plant. It will be, the design will come back with the change building, storage building, lifeguard building connected to Queen's Place. And we'll look to create maximum benefit for use of existing facility spaces. Customer service desk or registration desk is just an example of what you'll likely see. At this time, it's not being designed as a net zero energy building. So net zero energy, as I understand it as a layperson, is that the energy required to operate the facility is produced on site. So the heat recovery from the ice plant will certainly take you a long way towards that item. But what the project manager is saying that after the conceptual design is completed, the consideration for solar on the Queen's Place building could be done without compromising the conceptual design. So you receive the conceptual design, and at that time you can decide whether you wish to add solar. Just a comment that it would be advisable at some point, in my view, for council to have a comprehensive plan for your energy consumption. For example, if you wanted to have net zero energy for Queen's Place or this building or other buildings, it may be that a different solution than putting solar panels on Queen Place might be a more cost-effective solution. So something for council to consider long-term is perhaps some comprehensive planning related to that aspiration. Parking will be included in the design, and it will, of course, include accessible parking. Next slide, please. So in terms of the pool features, they're designing a 25-meter outdoor pool, six lanes. It'll be designed as a competition pool, so we'll have the things that are required to in order to hold competition. So deck space required for teams and staging and competitors. They'll look to maximize the deck space at that site. North-south orientation is so that the sun doesn't impact the competitors, and there'll be provision for starting blocks, backstroke flags, false start lines, etc. Beach entry will be part of the tank, so it's a zero entry. It'll be suitable for programming, and it will be an accessible entry, including railings. Change rooms, of course, male, female, and inclusive change rooms. Storage is being considered. It may be in the change house or on the deck in a separate structure, or perhaps both. The architect and project manager will look at what is most suitable for that site. The fencing and wind barriers, design options will be considered in their work. Shade structures and seating for comfort and sun safety will be included in the design. And they'll design in a diving platform, a 1 meter design platform. So that's not a diving board, it's a diving platform. A platform is the starting point. It requires certain depth in the tank. A diving board would require more depth, likely. A 3 meter board would require even more. So the starting point they think is logical is to include a 1 meter diving platform. So these are the next slide is the items requiring direction and decision, and really the only one requiring direction or decision as soon as possible is the hot tub. So I've asked the project manager to kind of put a hold on their work until a decision is made on this, because it requires it's a more significant component requiring underground work controls, etc. The other items that have been raised by the pool committee or discussed at council do not have to be made immediately. So maximizing the operation during the solar season, the consultant, the project manager will include sufficient deck lighting so that you can operate after daylight hours. But it's more likely that the amount of operation in the shoulder season, so June, September, October, is more likely an operational decision. The pool will be designed to accommodate the operation, but you will have to make those decisions probably based on other factors, availability of lifeguards, community interest, etc. There will be a contingency budget for water features. So they'll likely just pick a number. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be tens of thousands if you wish to include, and it's suitable to include some water features, likely in the beach entry part of the tank. Permanent and temporary bleachers are not being designed in, but they'll maximize the deck space to allow for that to be added. So that can be decided after the conceptual design. And I already discussed the zero energy, so that will not be included in the conceptual design, but that can be added after if council decides that they want to pursue that. So that's the general update from staff.
Okay, our CAO did a lot in a short period of time. We were just talking about this a couple days ago, and he's got this together. So I really, really appreciate what he's done. What we're going to do is something a little different, because the pool committee has always been part of this here, and we don't want to have, and I've already talked to this with the CAO, is to come back with questions after. We'd ask Deborah if you'd want to come up to one of the chairs, and then if there's any questions and things, because we'd like to come back with a design today that we can be able to go forward with, have a conceptual design that we can go forward with and don't have to come back to meeting after meeting. So what I'd like to do first off is do something again a little different. When I always say when I'm here, I like to do things a little different, is to go around to each counselor and if there's any questions you have, and just right around the table, and so everybody has a comment on it.
I guess you're putting me on the spot by making me talk first. I thought that would get a laugh. It looks like a good plan, and I'm glad that we're finally getting to the point where we're moving ahead with it. You know, we're actually looking at putting a hole in the ground that we can pour some money into. So it looks good. The hot tub, I guess, is our hold up now. Is this going to be, is there any funding out there to help make up any shortfalls that we may be looking at right now? Or like, we've got a budget that we've set and the hot tub is not included. Well, is there a way to come up with funding for that and possibly grants down the road?
We feel there is, and we're going to ask the society if they would be willing to raise money for it. We'd like to clarify, though, what a hot tub is.
Yeah, I regret that choice of words, actually. What we're looking for is an additional tank that has seating and jets, and that you can put that can withstand the higher temperatures. So that would mean, as the CAO noted, considerable work underneath, because of the heat. That means it has to be disinfected more, it has to be cleaned more, so you have to have your own tank, your own heating system and everything, so there is considerable cost for that. But we wanted to say that it's seating, and it could also have some therapeutics, so you determine how you put the temperature. So it's really more that we're looking, not when people, you say hot tub, people think what you buy at Canadian Tire. No, this is an in-ground, so that it's easily accessible with steps to go down, seating, jets, and a range of temperatures that would be available, so it could either be used as a hot tub or for therapeutics. So we just want to clarify that, and I truly regret that choice of words.
Okay, just on a follow-up, a lot of pools and places have hot tubs in that don't have lifeguarding. Is it a requirement to have lifeguards at a therapeutic hot plunge pool, whatever we want to call it? Or like, would that necessarily increase staffing if in the shoulder season?
I'm going on my over 30 years of lifeguarding and setting up and supervising staff. From how I've seen the first conceptual drawing, where there would only possibly be one space, you can't open the pool unless there's lifeguards on, and the volume of people in this should not increase the bather load enough. That would mean you would have to put another lifeguard on the deck. So you're going to have a lifeguard on the deck anyway, and the bather load in that should not be enough to merit more lifeguards at any given time. But if you were just to have the hot tub going, yes, you would have to have a lifeguard on deck.
Okay. Thanks, that answered my questions.
Councilor Miro.
I'm also on the pool committee. I do think the hot tub or a smaller tank, heated tank, is a wonderful addition. We do have the space for it. And I think it would really benefit the users. Maybe some people just want to use the smaller tank and not use the pool. So I think it's quite a beneficial. idea for the pool. Thank you.
Councilor Muse? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I'm just still. Some of the points that we've had discussions at the staff level have been raised. And I know Megan is on her way. She may have some comments. We haven't done a comprehensive assessment of what the operating implications are. It is hotter water, so that typically requires more disinfection. It also, the users of the facility, for lack of a more politically correct, perspire more, so it's a bigger draw on the disinfection, and more challenging operating environment in terms of ensuring that it's safe for use. We haven't investigated the lifeguard situation, but certainly talked about there would be supervisory requirements because there would be restrictions on who can use it. For example, typically you would see age restrictions. You would also see guidance related to pregnancy and not using the facility. There would typically be restrictions related to the time, so it may not require additional lifeguard, but it would definitely add kind of a supervision element to the site. We're just not able to tell you what that implication is for the facility. So I don't know if I've missed anything that Megan and I discussed, but those were some of the early observations and discussions we've had.
Councilor Muse?
I get the hot tub, like whatever we're going to call it. I have some problems with it because we have no idea the price. If you're going to raise the money and put that in separately, then I don't have a problem with it. But just sit here and vote on something to say, yes, I'm in favor of a hot tub, and we have no idea the price and what it's going to cost the taxpayers, I have a little problem. Also, the other thing, when we met with the project manager, he talked about the beach entry zero entry, and discussions with him, I thought there was going to be something different done, but I guess the beach entry's back on again.
So what I can say is, and I'm not an expert, a beach entry would be a significant part of the tank. Forget the, that's 30, 40 feet wide, or 30, 40, 50 feet long. It would be zero entry that makes it an accessible entry for users of the pool. One of the early other options was just an accessible entry. So it was essentially a ramp down into the pool that would only, the only utility of that would be accessible entry. It would not be significant enough for program space. So what the project manager is designing is a beach entry of significant size that would make it accessible and would allow for programming to occur in that part of the tank.
Yes, Anne, do you want to add to this?
So I've worked at both types. The accessibility is key for that beach entry, but it's also things like if you put seating along the side, it's great for intergenerational. I've seen what I assume are grandparents with young kids, so they can sit and the kids can play. It's like a beach, only it's 82 degrees instead of 59. So it allows accessibility, programming, intergenerational, and it becomes another gathering place, but it does so in the water. And it's sort of, it also allows kids to run in and out, and there's such a reduced fear in young children learning to swim that the rate in which they learn to swim is dramatically increased. That's been my experience with zero depth entries.
Okay, Councilor Muse, anything else? Councilor Gitney?
Morning. The only thing that I can think of is the costs. That's my money. And I just don't know if it would be worth the cost, and it's not just to put it in, but to maintain it for the chemicals, for everything. So I'd like to know a little bit more about the cost in that respect. But everything else, I am 100% on. Like, this is a great idea. You guys have put a lot of work into it. I appreciate all that you've done. And this is my only, not a hold up, my only concern.
I'm going to ask the CAO if that is what is going to proceed with the project managers to get a costing of that. Can that be asked?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Can we ask the project manager for the cost of that extra tank?
So that is the question before us, is do we ask the project manager to include an additional tank, additional hot tank, for them to include in the design and the costing? That's the question before council, is should we include that?
Maybe I don't know if I should interject this time, but is it could be also too to look at the project manager to run lines in case we wanted to do it as addition later, because if you decide you're going to do it later and you don't have the lines run, you're going to be in trouble. It won't fit. So I don't know, but it's just another thought.
I think it's quite a bit more than running lines, Maya. Because of the nature of it, it has to have its own filtration system. It would have to have its own heating, whatever we choose to use, whatever type of filtration system gets put in. So it's not just about getting the water to and from it. You have to have, so in the mechanical section, it would have its own whole system. It would be very small because the volume of water is small, but it's a little bit more than lines. That's my understanding from being part of pool projects.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Councillor Charlton?
Thank you. I think there was a little bit of confusion here, so I guess we go back to the CAO's point. This project may come in within budget, it may come in over budget, mm-hmm. So we may be talking about additions or amendments. So all we really need to do here is say, yes, we can consider this. And then, I guess, to Councillor Gidney's point, if with not knowing the cost, if there's some substantial cost even beyond this therapeutic tank, I'd like to call it, that we're not stuck if we say yes today. Yeah. It's just proceeding forward, and that will become a part of the cost. And if we then need to revise anything, we still do have an opportunity to do so. Is that correct?
Correct.
I just follow up with that. I'm in favor of moving forward with this.
Very good point, Councillor Charlton, because any additions, it's going to be hard to add after. So we can easily take away if the costs are too much. So we can be able, because this is just a conceptual drawing. They need a plan to go forward with. Councillor Hawks?
Yeah, I agree that we need to know what the total cost is before we can say we need to back up here or go ahead, right? So I can see us having that tank and in there, right? But like I say, we have still have to stay in budget. So that's the rest of the questions all been answered as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So everybody's had a chance to go around, to go back. Now it's open. If anybody has any other questions they want to ask, in particular with our CAO or Ann and Deborah being here, just that now's the time to ask it, because we want to get this back as a Councillor Gerald.
Do you want to go ahead, Dan, or no? I was just going to say, based off of previous like how we've run this with the discussions, I would just like to recommend that we move forward and have this become a part of the project manager's scope to investigate. I think that really there's no more conversations to have at this point, and we should just move forward and find out the facts, and then we can decide.
Okay, If there aren't any questions, I will turn it back over to our CAO if there's any other additions that he wants to make before we end the discussion today.
So I was just going to suggest that perhaps Megan or Adam, if they had any additional comments.
You can have shut yours off.
Oh.
And now I just speak. Oh, okay.